Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas. Joe Jill, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. Coming up at 1, Merrill moment number 17 as the countdown continues. We'll get to all your phone calls here on the Eagles, this roster. Elliot brought some interesting thoughts to the table there. It does seem like the Zach Ertz thing might have some legs. So we'll see how he's going to talk today at 3 p.m. I continue, and this is the first time in a while, to question Howie Roseman's handling of this roster, the way he put the four quarterbacks on. I don't think.
Four of them.
Yeah, if you have four, you don't have any. You don't have any backups if you have three of them. I mean, that's the bottom line. And McKee seemed to regress this summer, and Dalton just might be totally cooked. I know Hugh Douglas is blind to this because he's his guy. I mean,
he's not my guy.
He's
it's
your
just
guy. Everyone knows.
That's your guy, Hugh.
Everyone
now
knows.
You got Jack.
Well, people stop me in the streets like, man, Hugh really likes Andy Dalton.
I didn't say that.
You did.
Okay, fine. This is what we're doing today.
Yes, it's what we're doing.
On a Monday.
Well, what else? I mean, that's the next day we got to be in here.
Well,
how to get your week started, huh?
Yeah, way to go.
Yeah, you're taking the heat for Roseman because there's four quarterbacks on this roster and we're losing other players. All right, so we'll get to your phone calls that, but...
Do you think Howie listened to Hugh?
About, kept the quarterback?
About Dalton? About keeping Dalton.
No, I just think it
I hope he's not listening to Hugh. We're screwed. Screwed.
Can't wait for the season to start, man. Cannot wait for the season to start.
All right, I'll bet you $2 they don't have all four quarterbacks when the season starts.
I'll take that bet.
Okay, $2.
Two? All right.
$2. That's our, we don't go any higher than $2.
That makes sense.
$2. Yeah, that's our limit. $2. All right, $2 bet that all four quarterbacks will not be here when the season starts. Howie's going to speak at 3 today. But we had a caller last hour, Hugh, that mentioned the idea that the Phillies should bench Trey Turner for Edmundo Sosa.
Good luck with that.
Well, obviously that piqued my interest because I'm not a Trey guy. I love Edmundo. And Trey has just been a massive disappointment. I also recognize that the Phillies aren't going to do that, right? They're not going to, what, a month ago in the season, sit down their $300 million shortstop that they still are holding out some sort of hope for.
Hope.
That he will turn around a season, even though every day goes by and he's not doing that. But I do need the Phillies to do something, Hugh.
And
I don't think I'm asking for too much. Maybe you would say that is too much. But I need the Phillies to have the guts in a big moment down the stretch of the season or in October to pinch hit and get Trey Turner out of the game and give the at-bat to Edmundo Sosa. Let me present a couple numbers for you, and then we will hear Edmundo's home run yesterday as he did it again. Hugh, high-leverage moments, okay, classified as moments that can kind of swing the game.
Yeah.
High-leverage moments this year. We all see him, know him, feel him. Edmundo Sosa in high leverage this season, including yesterday and Friday, is hitting .317 with a .362 on-base percentage, a .659 slugging, a 1,020 OPS. We're talking about, like, he basically hits like a Shohei Ohtani, Aaron Judge, Jordan Alvarez in clutch moments. Trey Turner in high leverage moments. He has 75 at-bats in those moments. 167 batting average, .253 on base, .227 slugging, a .481 OPS. Sosa, yeah, exactly. Sosa in high leverage has been one of the best hitters in the game in big moments. And Trey Turner in big moments has been horrendous. I know Trey is going to play. I get it. I wish it wasn't an everyday thing.
Mm-hmm.
But if there is a moment where a playoff series on the line, a division title's on the line, a ninth inning in a tie game on the line, I want Edmundo Sosa at the plate and then taking the field the bottom of the inning, and I want Trey Turner to sit down. I need the Phillies to have the guts to do that. If everything's about winning the World Series, and I have a full season sample of one guy being one of the best clutch hitters in the sport and continues to have moments like this yesterday. Let's hear it. Again, after doing it Friday, Hugh Douglas, are you walking with me that in a big moment, the Phillies have to have the guts to sit Turner down and give the at-bat to Sosa?
I mean, I hear you, Joe, and it sounds compelling, but yeah. I don't think they're going to be able to do that because it's the
financial. What do you mean not able to
do
it? Well,
because it's the financial ramifications of trying to sit him on down in those moments. Because he is your high-dollar player. See, this is the thing that I think it sounds noble, but we're not. This is not high school Harry. This ain't even college. This is professional sports, and he's making a lot of money. And you want him to be in moments like that. I know it doesn't sound like
I don't want him anywhere near that moment. I want him in the parking lot.
Yeah, and it's one of those things that when you talk about, when you have the numbers speak for themselves, but you're still going to give him that opportunity.
Well, okay. I mean, listen, if we're having a conversation of who will end up right on this and who will end up wrong, then you're probably going to end up right. They probably won't do this. It doesn't mean they're right, though.
And it's not right, but it's about that money.
Well, but it shouldn't be, because I'll give you an example.
It's always about the money.
Well, it's not. I mean, we have a team. It's not. Let me explain why. 2 years ago, Bryce Huff got $50 million from the Eagles. Jalix Hunt was a third-round pick making Nothing. And in the biggest moments in the Super Bowl, who played? Jalen Hurts, because the Eagles were invested in winning a Super Bowl. So if it's about winning a championship, then I need the guy that gives you the best shot to win in the biggest moments.
You know what? You're right, but I think that was different because you had a defensive coordinator that came in, a grizzled vet that basically came in to save your defense that you wanted before. So you give him carte blanche, and that move was made before he got here. And he tried to let Bryce Huff tell it. He didn't try to incorporate him in it, but there were attempts to do it, but Bryce couldn't pick up the defense. And we know for a fact that when it comes to Vic Fangio and his defense, mm-hmm. if you don't know the defense, you're not going to play.
Well, I totally agree. I get that. And it took a grizzled defensive guy to say, I don't care about all that money.
He basically told Howie, forget you.
Sure,
basically.
But Don Mattingly's at a spot where his job's not guaranteed. He holds no weight. Trey Turner to him, who's that? Like, he's not like his manager for five years.
I think that when you talk about the fact that Trey Turner is out there playing shortstop and people talk about the fact that he is the worst shortstop, and he was the only one that didn't move when all this happened, that just kind of tells you kind of where he is with his cachet in the building right now.
So, listen, I don't think the Phillies would sit Trey down for a month or a series. Like that's where I'll find common ground with you on the contract, right? They're not going to bury the guy they signed for all these years. But I'm talking about game five of the division series against the Dodgers. Two outs, ninth inning. Tie game.
Game five.
I need Sosa to play, not Turner.
It's safe to say that you assume that in games one through four, he didn't produce, right?
Have you seen a season?
No, I'm just saying.
I'm going to imagine he's not producing.
That's what you're talking about. Yeah.
He's playing like he's played all year.
They're going to give him the opportunity.
Well, even in the past, he hasn't even performed in the playoffs, I don't expect him to anyways.
No, there's been a couple guys that have done that, though, but I get what you're picking up.
Yeah.
I pick up what you're putting
Well,
down.
I mean, the Phillies could do what they want. I know what I would do, and I would sit down. Here's what I'm envisioning. It is a playoff series. Let's say it's game three of the wild card series against the Cubs. Philly's down one, ninth inning. Like, the season is on the line. And up comes Schwarber and then Turner and Harper. Well, Schwarber walks. Jack, I want Sosa to play. Because I feel like if one of them's going to pop a home run in that moment, it's Edmundo.
Yeah, and I think that of all people to ground into a double play, it'd be probably Trey Turner.
Of course.
He would just fumble under the pressure. And so, yeah, I mean, Sosa's got to be up in these big moments because if not, it's going to cost a series. I'm actually interested to see if they try and involve Sosa more down the stretch when these games matter most, like especially like this Braves series, the both of them. Mm-hmm. Like, I would not be surprised if they actually have this thought in mind if they try and do it in situations like against the Braves in these two upcoming series.
You know what? One retort to that, though. You know who the game used to find like that used to be historic? Well, people used to talk about a few weeks ago grounding in the double plays, and then he became the hero over a stretch of weeks. Alec Bohm.
I still don't want him at the plate in a big moment. Like, goodness gracious, no.
No, but I'm bringing him up because that's the ebb and flow of the season. That's just how it is in baseball.
It is, but Trey has not shown a pulse the whole season.
Yeah. And this kind of feels like the whole, like, I know it's a different sport, but this feels like Deshaun Watson in Cleveland. It kind of feels like the same thing.
Ooh, like the talent's just gone. Like he zapped like a monster.
It
away.
And then, they're still paying him a bunch of money, so they feel like they have to play.
Well, I fully expect Trey to take down 95% of the at bats from here to the end of the season. I'm just talking about those big moments because two things are happening. Trey is failing over and over in those spots, and Edmundo's becoming. It's hard to ignore the clutch moments he's had. Like I want him at the plate in those spots. 215-592-9494. You can react to that in a big moment. Should the Phillies sit down Trey Turner for Edmundo Sosa? I would do it in a heartbeat. I feel like the Phillies want to win a championship. They will. I hope they listen. I hope they consider it. They need to have the guts to do it. And then of course the Eagles with this roster. I am questioning Howie for the first time in a long time with the four quarterbacks on the 53. Just doesn't make any sense. And is this Phillies team different? Let's go back to the phone lines. Lots to discuss. John in Allentown is up on WIP. John?
Yo, guys.
Hey, John.
What's up, John?
I got all the answers for you.
Okay.
What you got?
All the answers.
What are you thinking?
Hugh.
Yes.
Don't do the art feathers on top, man. That's all I'm saying.
The art feathers.
Yeah, that stuff comes in nice and thin. It looks like
your
art
hair,
feathers
your
growing
hair.
In the
Oh, you're
wind.
Talking about
so
the,
oh,
no, I ain't
worried.
All right, John, this thing ain't happening, man. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that.
Second, the Phillies.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to do what they always do. They're going to leave Trey Turner where he's at, and they're going to bomb out in the playoffs. That's what they're going to do. That's what they're going to do.
Yeah, unfortunately, you're probably right. I mean, John, my scenario is probably not going to happen. But if we have a big moment and Edmundo sits on the bench and Trey pops out on the first pitch, I am not.
You're going to be hot.
Yeah, of course, because they have a guy that's hitting the big moment all year, and they're just going to let him sit there while the other guy screws it up.
And, yeah. I mean, he's a pop-out machine. He's a pop-out machine and an error machine. Like, what is the upside of keeping him where he's at? It's nothing. It's the definition of insanity. Do the same thing every day, expect a different, it's not going to change.
Well, it's every, John, it'd be different if he was showing some signs that he was coming out of this and getting, somewhere closer to the player he typically is. But, it's September 1st tomorrow, and this is where he's at.
I mean, thank God they moved Bryce out to third base because he covers half of Trey Turner's territory at this point when he plays third base.
He does. He's been awesome.
I mean, he. So, and guys, Mekhi Lemon, I'm going to tell you what Mekhi Lemon's problem is. He's a Big Ten receiver. I mean, bottom line, he is not a prime time receiver. He's not a big play receiver. He's a Big Ten receiver. He's not an NFL receiver. Like, he played in a horrible conference. With weak competition.
Big Ten's not a
no.
Conference.
Big Ten's won the last three national titles. I mean,
there's only one team. One team in the Big Ten's really cooked.
Well, Indiana won last year. Ohio State's been pretty good. And Michigan.
I'll say this. USC, John, has been down. USC's not a very good program.
Yeah.
At least they haven't been for a little bit. But the conference he played in, he did play up against some. I mean, when you play in Indiana and Michigan and Ohio State, I mean, those teams are pretty good.
Yeah, but didn't USC just get back into the Big Ten?
They did join recently.
Yeah, it was a couple years ago. Yeah.
They joined recently. Yeah, they're not what they used to be.
I hate to say this, man. Our general manager, I love him, but he has a problem with picking wide receivers.
Pick Devontae Smith.
Yeah, that's the only one he's picked.
You couldn't make a mistake. He's a Heisman Trophy winner.
Well, Hugh, but if you draft
the country.
But hold on,
if
you draft 10 receivers over 10 years and you hit one, you're not good at drafting receivers.
Okay, fair enough.
Exactly. Yeah. There we go. I mean, that's it. I mean, he's just not good at picking receivers, bottom line. And this guy, Joe was saying it earlier, the measurables just are not there. Like, what was the information you were going off of when you traded up to pick him?
Well, I think they were going off his production. You're right, John. The measurables are not there. He doesn't look the part. And there are other receivers in this draft that had more of the body type, you would think. But I think there's two things to this. John Gutfunkel, I mean, they wanted a specific type of wide receiver, right? They wanted a guy that could probably play the slot and work over the middle. You're talking about unlocking the middle. Now, I mean, we don't have to write off this kid yet, but I feel like
this kind of was happening, though.
No, I think it's coming back to the Howie thing. I mean, Howie had a blind spot at wide receiver for a long time. Devontae was a great pick, but people don't forget the years before Devontae when they didn't have a good receiving corps.
Yeah, and that's the reason why I said the other day that it does him. I mean, it did him no favors by putting him out there with the twos, man.
But I guess what's the favor for him or to get hit? Like,
well,
he wanted to play and he wanted to get ready to play.
No, I understand that. I understand he wanted to play, and he didn't look up to snuff. But I think it's a little bit harder when you're going out there with guys that are, like I said, trying to make squads. No excuse. I mean, he went out there and he played. He left that impression for everybody to see. But that's why I said to me, I didn't see the benefit of him going out there with the guys that he's not going to be playing with on Sunday.
Well, I guess we'll see when the season starts, right? Yeah. If this was
now, with that being said, Joe, everybody might be validated when we come the next Sunday. Not this Sunday, but the next. Not this Sunday, but the next Sunday.
A couple Sundays.
They might be validated by what they're thinking, but to have that kind of pressure going into this is a lot for a young cat.
You want to talk about the receivers Howie's drafted over the years?
Oh, I know one of them, like the comparison has been with Jalen Reagor.
Well, that's the one that sticks out. Mm-hmm. So,
well, there's two.
Yeah. let's go to 2000, from 2010 on. Here are receivers Eagles have drafted. Riley Cooper, 2010, which actually is a fifth-round pick. That actually was not that he had a productive career for a fifth-round pick. But, again, that's what he was. 2012, Marvin McNutt, who was actually the winning answer to our obscure Eagle, random Eagle, a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
2014, Jordan Matthews and Josh Huff. 2015, I don't even know if we give him credit for this one because this was the year that Chip was basically fully in charge. So we don't give him credit. That was Nelson Aguilar. And that was actually a good pick overall, so we can't use that. 2017, Matt Collins and Shelton Gibson.
Mm-hmm.
2019, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. 2020, Jalen Reagor, John Hightower, Quez Watkins. 2021, the hit, Devontae Smith. And then since then, the only other receiver they've drafted, Johnny Wilson, Anais Smith in 2024. They didn't draft one last year, and now this year, Mekhi Leonard.
That's fair enough.
That's fair enough. It's a pretty bad record.
That's fair enough.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
It's probably one out of 10 or 15, that's whatever the numbers were.
Kind of sounds like that. Yeah, it definitely sounds like that.
Yeah, I mean, to the point where the reason AJ got here is because they whiffed so bad on Jalen Reagor.
They had to go get a bona fide.
Yeah, they had to get Devontae and go get AJ Brown.
Well, some of those receivers he also whiffed on, like that he passed up on,
right?
Jefferson, DK Metcalf. I think he passed up on AJ Brown too in the Jalen Reagor draft.
He did, yeah.
So
that might have been the Arcega-Whiteside.
Yeah,
draft,
right. I knew it was one of those two, but the fact that you try and see if you can get a certain type of receiver instead of the overall better receiver. How he just gets in his head sometimes with these receivers.
Well, that was Reagor and Jefferson, right? He wanted that speed guy because Tyreek Hill was the
stretched the field kind of cat.
Yeah, I think what I heard from that last call, and I kind of feel it, people's antenna is up. Until they see Lemon play well, they're going to go back to Howie, you've struggled in this area.
Exactly. That's what I was like.
But the Eagles can't not play him because John on the phone line might have something to say.
It's not about John on the phone line, but it's like if you're going out there, he's it's pressure to play. You're playing with guys. The quarterbacks haven't been playing well. And it just, now we're parsing together whether or not it was him or the pass, you know. And to your point, and Elliot's point, he could have got separation on the second play.
Yeah.
But on the first catch, he had to go to the ground to get that ball. That was a bad ball. That first one was a bad ball.
It was. He had to almost turn around.
Yeah, that was a bad ball.
Yeah, that was the opposite of letting someone catch the ball in stride. I mean, for sure. All right, let's go to Herb, who's up on WIP. Herb?
Yeah, what's up, Joe?
Herp.
Hey, Hugh, I want to ask you something. Friday night, did you see Hollis Thomas?
Friday night? I saw Hollis, but was it Friday? Oh, at the game. Yeah, I did.
The alumni?
Yeah, the alumni.
He was there.
Yeah.
Because he was parked in the media lot. I talked to him a little.
Yeah, I saw him.
So anyway, there was a bunch of people around him. I had my bus down there with the Make-A-Wish Foundation. So anyway, Joe, understand that we got a few weeks before this game, okay? You know that they only carry in five defensive linemen, but there's going to be a few more coming in. So, you know, some of these guys that are linebackers are also going to be up on the line of scrimmage as a DN.
The edge guys, the Epinesas and Epiketties.
But there's a few guys that I can see that they cut, but they're going to be on this team. So, you know, they played pretty good in a few games that they played and stuff. But
Herb, who should be the backup quarterback? McKee, or who do you like? McKee or Dalton?
You're only going to have two quarterbacks.
You're only going to have two.
I mean, Douglas thinks they're going to have four. I mean, this is unbelievable.
No way.
No way,
because you need those other two spots you're going to need. You're going to need secondary. You're going to need, tight end. They're going to definitely going to bring in some tight ends. They're going to have five.
Why not have five?
Screw it. Let's have six.
This offense is going to be different when Hurts is in there. The number one man. The number one man. He's going to do what he's got to do. He knows how to win games. He knows how to move the ball down. The key is these guys, okay, you know, Devontae Smith, he knows the plays, and these other guys are going to have to follow the act. That's all.
Well, I've been trying to tell Hugh that all offseason.
All offseason.
And he hasn't listened to me here. That's the problem.
Right.
Herb, what's your win total? What are you feeling right now?
This is what I want to say.
10, 11, 12?
If the Phillies are listening, my condolences to Larry Christensen.
Yes.
Someone that I knew from Vet Stadium, someone that I talked to many, many times. He knows me. I'm very, it's just a shame. 72, I'm 71. And my condolences to him and all the 1980 world champion, all the players that were on that team that are still living. God bless you. And we lost a good one right there. Larry Anderson was
unbelievable.
Larry Christensen, rather. Was just a great, he was a great person, and he, you know, I'm very sad about this and all, you know. I seen him a few years ago in his black Cadillac with his wife. But anyway, that's
well,
about
well
it.
Said, Herb, you know, and our condolences go out to the Christensen family. Yeah, they,
now,
he,
the Phillies, this is to starting tonight, Joe.
Listen,
they're
going
to have to play every game like it's a playoff game.
Every
game. Let's go, Phillies.
Let's go, Herb.
Let's win.
Well, let's go.
WWW till you say, till the end of the season.
Yeah, you know what? Let's just win out. I love it. Herb, good phone call. We appreciate it. Yes, Larry Christensen passed away here this weekend. 1980 Phillies. Started. Started over 200 games here. I think he played his entire career here, all 11 years of his career in a Phillies uniform. He's a good pitcher. So sad. He passed away.
Not Larry Anderson.
No, Larry Anderson
gotcha.
Is still with us.
I was about to say, good.
I mean, the names are kind of similar.
No, I get it. Larry.
Anderson. Yeah, both Larrys, both pitchers.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, Larry Anderson is definitely still with us.
Christensen
so.
Anderson.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, they're the son on the end.
No, I'm saying
Anderson.
Chris.
Can you give our guy?
No, I'm just saying.
He's trying
now, listen,
to. That was
now,
his
I,
form of fan
you know,
eulogy,
I,
and you're
I mess
laughing.
Up, I mess up names. You know I do. But Anderson, Christensen.
Larry Anderson, Larry Christensen, both pitchers for the Phillies. I can see how you mix those up. I could see now you probably shouldn't do it in a condolences to their life, but I could see how you screw them up. 215-592.
I mean, come on.
9494. All right, coming up.
I don't see it.
Something I heard a Sixers say this weekend. And it just, man, it got me excited. I'm so excited for the Sixers. And I can't wait to watch this guy who it feels like is being a little bit overshadowed right now. I can't wait to watch him in a Sixers uniform. You hear that next. Your calls on all this. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Excited, Hugh Douglas?
Yes, I am, man. I'm not going to lie. I am. Because I got people calling me excited about the season. I'm not getting anybody any tickets. But
no? You're not shelling out tickets?
Nah.
Come on
I'm
now.
Not a sponsor.
Come on, Hugh.
I know, contrary to popular belief, I'm at that sponsor age. I'm not a sponsor.
That's what people are saying in the hallways when you walk
He's
down the
a sponsor.
Yeah, there
hey,
he is again.
Sugar daddy.
But you know, it's weird because we're at that time of the year where it's like.
No.
We're at that time of the year. We're all in baseball playoffs for a month away, right? The NFL season is about to start.
We're going to have everything in play.
But, you know, in the back of my mind, there is some space just carved out on a daily basis for, like, what are the Sixers up to? What are they saying? Saw last week they were working out together. And then, Hugh, I heard this. So, Jalen Brown, we know he's a big streamer, right? He gets to go on, I guess, what is it, Twitch or whatever he does?
Yeah,
right?
Twitch.
Okay,
yes.
He streams on Twitch. So, this will be, it'll certainly be interesting during the season when times are good or not, right? What he's going to have to say, because he'll say a lot on there. But, Hugh, I heard this, and I was excited, one, because he's a hell of a player. Two, mm-hmm. I almost feel like the LeBron acquisition is almost completely overshadowed the fact that we traded for Jalen Brown, who was one of the best players in the NBA last year. But I heard this, and I just realized, like, this guy is a man on a mission, considering the team he played for a decade dumped him, didn't want him anymore, thought he was overrated, overpaid, and sent him to a rival. Here's Jalen Brown on his stream this weekend.
My mentality is kill. Like, you know what I mean? I feel like I want blood this year. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like that's the mentality. I want blood.
I can't wait to watch him play in a Sixers uniform, Hugh. I feel like he is, you know, there's rare times where a player is in his prime and gets moved when no one really understands why. This guy, it just feels to me like he has a major chip on his shoulder to show the Celtics, you just dump one of the best players you've ever had for no reason.
I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you guys. And you know, he went up there. I saw something what he did this weekend. He went up there for a festival, and he kind of gave the shout-out to the people that, you know, up there in Boston. And I saw him out there, what, surfing or something. He was doing something on his pod, whatever. But, yeah, he's a guy on a mission. I think this is the most excited I've seen anybody about basketball since Allen Iverson was here.
Oh, I agree,
yeah,
for sure.
Since back in the day, man. You know, with everything that we got him, LeBron, and the way that the process, Joel Embiid, sounds like he's bought back into it. Everybody's excited about what potentially this basketball season is going to be.
Well, for the first time, legitimately, there is a chance they could win the NBA championship. I mean, we kind of like squinted and tried to talk ourselves into it for a lot of years in the middle of that run with Embiid. But it never felt real. It never felt actual, like they could actually win the title. We have that feeling now. And a huge part of it is the trade for Jalen Brown. And you know, the player is awesome. And he was awesome last year for the Celtics. And I know there's questions about is he worth the $60 million he gets paid and the future and all that? I get all that, right? And then we'll figure that out when we go along. But for right now,
it's a good feeling.
I just love that he's coming in here annoyed. He's coming here with some. He doesn't really have a chip
on his shoulder.
He doesn't really have anything to prove on a basketball court. He's proven obviously a lot. He's been an excellent player, an all-star, and a Finals MVP of Hugh. But feels like he has now created something else. He's got to prove. Prove to the Celtics you were wrong.
Yeah, and prove that that like you said that they're wrong. But just like he's that dude, he wants to be that guy again. And I think that's going to bode well for us as fans.
Well,
it's
gonna
be a fun time.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting to see how it all fits together and how they all play off each other. But I think Brown, it almost in a weird way helps him that he can fly under the radar again, because LeBron's going to be the story, right?
Yeah.
He's the story. He's the face of this thing now. He's why they're on TV all this. But I think we're almost sleeping a little bit on how great Jaylen Brown was last year for the Celtics and can be for the Sixers. I can't wait. And you're right, coming up in a couple months, we're going to have all these teams all at the same time. Cannot wait for it. 215-592-9494. David Westchester up on WIP. Hey, David.
Hey, Joe. Hey, Dr. Frankenstein, crazy hair Douglas. How you guys doing?
What's going on?
Yeah, we might
on,
have
man.
To save that nickname. I like that. Crazy haired Frankenstein Douglas. Like it.
Dude, just shave it. Come on, man. We had to.
Come on back home.
This morning, I woke up and I'm like, man, what are we doing? This morning,
so you had the doubt I'm having in Howie about your own hairline?
No, I was like, what are we doing? Because it's just so much easier. Like, as a bald guy, it's just easier to groom.
Yeah.
I'm going to ride this out. I'm going to see how long I can ride this out, though, Dave. I'm going to see how long I can ride this out.
You just take, take the clippers, take the, number one blade, the attacher, put it on, and just every week, just boop, 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 you're done.
Yeah, I thought about it. I definitely thought about it this morning. That was definitely a thought.
Yeah, you definitely don't have to shave all the way, but just clip in and just have those little tiny hairs on.
I'm gonna see how long
nice
I can go with it. I'm gonna see how long I can go because I haven't even shaved this yet. I'm gonna see.
I'm gonna weeks or months or the end of the year.
I want to see. I don't know because it's starting to get a little annoying. Like,
well, it might help
now.
You when it gets colder.
Yeah.
I think this
Joe
guy's got 2 weeks left in him tops.
two weeks tops.
2 weeks tops. I can hear the doubt in his voice.
Yeah, it's a lot, man. It's a lot going on over here.
All right. First off, with that quote, I want blood. Oh, my God. I cannot wait for the Sixers. I have not been this excited for the Sixers in forever. I mean, geez, this is more than any Philly fan deserves, what they put together and in such a short time. Thank God for this ownership group, should I say? It's like, wow.
Well, thank God they got Bob Myers in here and then Gansey, because, there's just no way they pull this off with Maury. There's no way they pull this off with Colangelo or any of the guys they've had here before.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, this was a remarkable trade, and then it opened the door to go get, LeBron.
LeBron James.
Yeah. I mean, cause without Brown, they don't get LeBron.
LeBron James.
Changed everything.
Right. Yeah, so this is going to be a great season. I can't wait to watch it. As far as Mekhi Lemon, okay, you guys need to back off that kid for a little bit. Mm-hmm. He's in limited, limited showing. He got hurt, which was unfortunate. And he's going to have some growing pains, but it's not like he's Nelson Aguilar out there just dropping everything that's thrown to him. You got to give him a shot here. You got to just back off, let him play, let him get his feet wet. Just let him adjust his speed of NFL so things can slow down for him instead of just, oh my God, he dropped the ball in training camp. Jesus, the world's going to end.
Yeah, we'll have patience. I'll give him 2 to 3 weeks, and then I'll start yelling about him. All right, David, good phone call. You got it, man. We appreciate it. So David said something there. Would you sign up for Mekhi Lemon to have a Nelson Aguilar career right now? I think I would. Played 10 years in the NFL.
Yeah. I guess
there are probably some people saying we want way more out of a first-round pick. I'm just saying, Nelson Aguilar was not bad and helped the Eagles win a Super Bowl. 215-592-9494. Coming up, Merrill moment number 17. The countdown continues and all your phone calls and all this. It's the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.